Welcome this morning in the spirit of Christ who welcomes all. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and assisting me in leading worship today will be Mazen Hostetler and Mary Brown. Our communion servers will be Dick and Mary Falkenberry, Frank and Sarah Lader, Jessica McCleary, and Skylar St. Laurent. We will be having, and our music today will be by our Wesley Chorale. Our communion today will be offered three different ways. If you are here in the sanctuary, you may come forward to the altar. You serve yourself by breaking off a piece of the bread, dipping it into the communion chalice, and then receiving the juice and bread at one time. We will also have two stations on the floor, and you will receive a piece of the bread. You will dip that into the chalice and receive the juice and bread at one time. If you'd like to receive communion where you are seated, please take one of the yellow cards off of a table in the back and hold that card up. That will indicate to our servers that you would like to receive communion there in your seat where you are seated. If you are worshiping with us online, we invite you to have your elements available so that you may also participate in this gift offered to each of us through Jesus Christ. We have our emergency utility baskets if you want to make an offering. There are two on the altar. There's two here at the floor stations. That goes toward assisting those who need some additional assistance in keeping electricity or gas heat on, and we offer that to our community, and they come in. We've been having record numbers recently. The Lenten breakfast series continues. The next one on Saturday, March 7th, is at New Horizons United Methodist Church. The breakfast begins at 8 a.m., and is followed by a presentation of music and a speaker. The All-Church Lenten studies have all begun, but you are still welcome to participate, so please come. I think all of the groups are welcoming anyone who is interested in studying and preparing for Easter. Next Sunday, be sure to take a mental note, and I have to post it on my refrigerator or I forget, but that is our clocks change. We will spring forward next Sunday, March 8th, so be sure to make sure you remember that. Next Sunday, we are going to welcome Reverend Dale Mendenhall, who will be preaching, so be sure to show up on time for Dale, please. I will be officiating a wedding in northern part of Indiana, so I will not be present. Jesus calls all of his followers to make disciples. We at Anderson First United Methodist Church make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. Allie Hall has a special announcement for us about our family ministry.
Good morning. I'm Allie Hall, the Director of Family Ministries here at Anderson First. We've had a lot going on and have a lot even more coming up in the family ministries. So instead of giving Pastor Corrine a long list of things to talk about today, I said, I'll talk about them. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported our 200 envelopes fundraiser so far. We've had a great response. So far, we raised enough money to send 15 kids to camp totally free to the families. And that's a massive, massive feat. So thank you very much for that. One of the big projects we were hoping to do this year is that we're actually growing so much that we need an additional classroom upstairs for our youth group. We are going to be building out an older youth or high school ministry ministry room, and we're hoping to furnish that, and your funds are going to help cover that. If you notice back there, we still have a ton of envelopes, though, so please, 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 today is technically the deadline, but at any point you want to give me money, we'll take it. So please stop by at the 200 envelopes to help us raise a little bit more money for our older youth. And then something else that's coming down the pipe, and thank you, I've noticed we have a ton of donations that rolled in this morning for our candy and our toys. That is going to go to our Easter extravaganza. It's going to look very, very different this year. We're going to have a sensory-friendly experience inside here at the church as opposed to the park. That's going to be different this year, so please, please, please bring in any candy and toys. We also have opportunities to volunteer out at the front desk. We'll have opportunities to talk to you about that afterwards. This is something that we kind of been dreaming up. I don't know if you've noticed this, but March weather in Indiana isn't great. It really isn't. The first year we had our egg hunt, it snowed, and we were outside in frigid temperatures. Last year, it rained, and we were outside in the mud, and we ended up switching it to a drive-through experience last year, and even though it was a drive-through experience, we were able to provide Easter egg kits for people to take home for over 300 people, and that's huge. And so we said, can we do that in addition to a new kind of Easter experience? And so that's what we kind of dreamed up, and that's what we're working towards this year. So we will have a drive-through experience out under in our parking lot, so people can drive through and get Easter egg kits. And then we'll also have, like I said, sensory safe experiences here in the church. Anderson actually has a very, very large special needs demographic. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's significantly higher, almost double the national average here in Anderson. And so we thought, as a church, it's our job to cater to the marginalized, right? It's something that our church does really, really well, and we wanted to do that intentionally and in a safe and inclusive way. And so that is why we're kind of doing things a little bit differently this year. We're going to have a sensory room. All of the activities will be spread out. We'll have kind of lights down, and then we'll also have pictures with the Easter Bunny here at our church. So if you're interested in creating a safe space, we'd love for you to join us by volunteering and welcoming those families. Or if you want to stand out in whatever the weather looks like and hand out egg kits to each and every person who wants one, we'd love for you to join us. But if you can't be there, we totally understand, but we'd love for you to continue to donate candy and toys. We've got about 2,000 more eggs to fill, and I've got one bucket of candy. So that's not going to go very far, so we definitely would like more donations. So now I think that that is it, but if you have any questions about any of those things or anything specific that we do with the family ministry, I'd love to chat with you after the worship.
Thank you, Allie. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. as you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship.
We are on a journey of faith. Jesus is our leader and our guide.
We place our trust in him.
As the daylight hours grow longer, our journey takes on a journey.
We must prepare our hearts for Jerusalem.
Hold on to hope. God goes before us into Jerusalem, into the world.
Thank you.
again. I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment this morning. All right, well, it is a new month today. Can you guys believe we're already in the third month of the year? It's hard to believe, isn't it? We're in March now. So we finished up our February lessons on Wednesday, and this week we are starting a new series called Plugged In. And we're going to be learning the simple truth that we are meant to know God. So all month long, we're going to be learning about attributes of God. So why don't you go ahead and open up our bag and see what's in there. I'll give you a hint. It's very little, so you might have to look. Did you think there was anything in it? You did? It's very little. Oh, all right. Do you know what that is? That is my library card. And look at it. It's so tiny. And do you notice what's wrong with it, Harlan? It's broken. It fell off of my key ring the other day. And I said, oh no, how will they know when I need to check out a book? Look, it's really broken. See? And it's not on purpose at all. It's actually just I broke it. But do you guys have any library cards? Yeah, libraries are great, right? Because we get to get a lot of free books, and I love to read books. But every single library card is different and unique. No one else has my library card. And so when it broke, I was like, oh no, what am I gonna do? I don't know how I'm gonna have to go figure that out eventually, but right now I'm just buying them on the app. But every card is unique and different. And that made me think about God. Because God is very unique and different. And since we're going to be learning about different attributes, I wanted to think about one this week, and that is God is holy. Do you know what holy means? You know what it is, but you don't know how to describe it? That's actually a pretty good description. Any other ideas about what holy means? Don't know what it means, but I don't know how to describe it. Yeah, so holy is basically like you are set apart, right? Like you're so unique and special and above everything in this world that you are set apart. You're holy. You are perfect, right? And are we perfect? No, we're not. Because who's perfect? No one. Who else? No? Who else could be perfect? Who's the only person that could be perfect? God. That's right. So that's why God is holy, because God is set apart. And so we're going to be learning things called attributes, which are like characteristics, right? Like we might be smart or funny or caring, and we're going to learn some attributes about God, and one of which is that God is holy. So we're going to head back to our seats today for the rest of worship. And then all month long, we're going to be learning that we are meant to know God. Okay? Let's head back.
God's ancient, steadfast love is not a love that simply waits for us to stop wandering and return home. God's love comes seeking us and gives us the gift of Jesus so that we might have life abundant. Our giving this morning, whether we have been lost and wandering or secure and safe, expresses our firm conviction that God is with us no matter what. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude, heartfelt commitment, and praise.
My heart to sing thy praise.
God of the wilderness, we give these offerings in gratitude, rejoicing in the abundance of your gifts to us. We give these offerings in faith, trusting that you will provide our needs. We give these offerings in hope, knowing you can use them to spread your love in this world. And with these offerings, we give ourselves. May we live with generous hearts, with open hands. Amen.
I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, thank you for your invitation to bring all of our concerns to you. This morning we have many. We have friends and relatives who are ill, neighbors who are struggling to find work and make ends meet, family members who suffer from addiction, anxiety, and grief. We are confused and distraught by the news, afraid for the many who are in the middle of ongoing and new military conflicts, afraid for ourselves as citizens in this war-torn world. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Teach us to find peace in your abundant love. Be with the leaders of all nations. Give them the wisdom to act with compassion, generosity, and courage. Inspire us with renewed hope and awaken us to recognize the gifts you have given each of us and to see the roles we can play in healing your creation and your people. Make us aware, too, of our own faults and weaknesses, and teach us to confess, to turn back to you, and to forgive others. Give us the strength never to betray you. in our words, our actions, or our failure to act as Christians. All this we pray, empowered by your unfailing love. Amen. The gospel lessons today are from John and Mark, the first from John 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And from Mark 14, verses 66 to 72. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said, "You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I do not know or understand what you are talking about." And he went out into the forecourt, and then the cock crowed. And the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. Then after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know this man you are talking about." At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. This is God's word for us today. Thanks be to God.
There are politically correct phrases for our teens, youth, and I wanted to just begin by sharing a couple of those with you. No longer is their bedroom cluttered. It is passage restricted. They are not lazy. They're energetically declined. They're not shy. They're conversationally selective. And they're not necessarily persistent any longer. They are tenaciously focused. And that is a term, that's one of those that we could use to describe the young lady in our passage today. She was probably no more than a teenager, if that. She may have been much younger than that even. But she had a job. She worked for a very powerful man, and she wanted to keep her job. So she had to know what her employer liked, had to know where she was supposed to be and when, And then she had to be highly focused on the details of who was on the property and why. And this is what leads us into our passage this morning of Mark 14. She was tenaciously focused on Peter. And it was her focus and her statement about Peter after she goes, "Ah, I know who that is. You are a follower of Jesus." "No, I'm not." This passage, this event comes out of what is called the Passion. And during this time, we have this night of Passion where in the evening we had Jesus and his disciples having the Passover and receiving that meal. And then at midnight and later, they were at the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus was praying. He knew what lay ahead of him. And it was that third segment, because during the midnight session of prayers, he was also arrested, and he was dragged down the Mount of Olives, up the Kidron Valley, into what was Caiaphas's house for a trial. Not by the Romans, but by the Sanhedrin, led by the high priest himself, Caiaphas. And then in the courtyard at Caiaphas's house, we have this time that's called the calling time or the cock's crow time. And it was at dawn then, that day, that Jesus was then taken to Pilate to be tried. And so all of this took place as a part of the Passion story. And so what is going on? Well, you see, actually, all the disciples betrayed Jesus. They all disappeared in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's only Peter that shows up here, trying not to be identified or seen, but nevertheless, he's there. Peter had been with Jesus for the 3 years. He had listened to Jesus teach, both publicly and very privately, when Jesus was describing things only the disciples might understand. He had watched Jesus do miracles. He had been with Jesus day in and day out, lived with Jesus in Capernaum at his mother-in-law's home. They had shared so many things. Peter was up in the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, seeing Moses and Elijah stand on either side of Jesus Christ. He had been with him at the Lord's Last Supper, this Passover meal that they had just shared. He'd been in the Garden of Gethsemane. They had even walked on water together. This was Peter. So his denial is surprising. But not only the fact that he denied Jesus is surprising, but his timing. You see, Jesus earlier in chapter 14 of Mark predicts that Peter will deny Jesus 3 times before the cock crows twice. And it happens. But not only that, just prior to this moment, around the fire at Caiaphas's house, Peter had actually drawn a sword to protect Jesus. He was willing to go above and beyond, and now here he is. And yet, he denies Jesus. He's confronted by that very persistent, that tenaciously focused little girl who had a job to do for Caiaphas and who was up, even though it was the middle of the night, doing her job, whatever that job might have been. She recognizes him. And she confronts just him. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Nope, nope, nope. No, I'm not. But she knows what she knows, just like a lot of kids, right? They know what they know, and they're going to tell it. And she did. She went to others who were around the fire. Jesus had she had confronted him and kind of moved away from that fire a little bit. Maybe because his face wouldn't have been seen as clearly in the dark. Maybe because he wanted to make sure he had an escape route open. So he moves away from the fire a little bit and she says, that is one of Jesus's followers. And so everybody's interest is piqued. Because these around the fire were considered now enemies of Jesus Christ. And they ask him, are you one of the followers of Jesus Christ? You're a Galilean, you've got to be. And he swears he's not. One of the things I want you to notice is that swearing and discipleship do not go hand in hand. Because they stopped asking. Yep. He's swearing against Jesus. He can't be one of the disciples. Think about that. That's a whole nother sermon. But we have Peter denying Jesus Christ. It makes a difference. There is something that's called moral overconfidence. And it's a term that came out of Harvard University. One of the students published an article in Washington Post. And this moral overconfidence, as he identifies it in his article, is something that where we think of ourselves as really good people. That's who we intend to be. And we're not. We fail. We have moral overconfidence in thinking that we can do more than we actually can do on a moral level. We want to be good. We as Christians want to follow Jesus. We show up. But then we miss out. I will never, ever forget. Preparing for this sermon brought back a very painful memory for me. I will never forget being a part of a group. I didn't know them very well, but they brought up the name of a friend and it turned to gossip and slander. They were criticizing a friend of mine by name, making fun, just literally crucifying the character of my friend. And I thought, well, I want to speak up. I should say some good word for my friend. I need to defend them. As the conversation kept going, and yet I really didn't know these people very well, so I ended up not saying a word. And as I walk back to my car after that conversation, I'm thinking, I really should have done things differently. I should have stepped out and I should have at least said something good. I should have deterred the conversation away from my friend. I could have done at least that. And then in my mind, I hear the rooster crow. I had denied the love that Jesus Christ would have shown. I did nothing. Now that seems simple, right? No harm. My friend never found out, right? And yet, in the small ways, it was very damaging for me. You see, the little things that we do have a big impact. Those things that we do in private, where we think nobody's looking on or there's just a few that are looking on, it really doesn't matter, but it does. It matters more than we can even imagine. This is what happened to Peter. These were all enemies. It really didn't matter, right? And yet what it happened in a small way reflected what happened on a large scale. His denial to the little girl who knew what she knew meant that he cursed Jesus Christ and denied him completely to the larger crowd that had gathered. What we do makes a difference, even though it's a small thing. Peter, that night, left crying bitterly when the cock crowed again. And he had denied Jesus three times. Then he returned living differently. We learn a lot from this. We learn that we are weak. We learn that it is only by the grace of God that we can make it through temptations. The grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ is what allows us to go on. That's the picture of Peter. You see, it is because there is hope. Because God offers us that gift of hope through God's grace, that Jesus Christ was headed to the cross, that we might be ultimately forgiven for our weaknesses, for our failures, for our denials. If you have ever failed Jesus Christ, welcome. You are in the right place. This is why Jesus Christ went to the cross, to offer us God's forgiveness and God's grace, that we may be forgiven of our failures, yours and mine. As we prepare ourselves to come and receive Holy Communion today, let it be a time of receiving God's ultimate forgiveness through Jesus Christ. As we prepare our hearts, let us sing together our hymn. May the Lord of the journey be with you and also with you. Pilgrims of God, lift up your hearts. We offer them to the one who denied himself to carry us into eternal life. out of that barrenness called chaos, you called into life all that is good and true, extravagant God. Your face shining in the starlight, your voice echoing in the crashing waves, your heart, your hopes, your love poured into those created in your image. Showering them with peace and mercy, you began to teach them all they needed in order to live in hope and in joy with you. But setting their minds on all the desires which temptation revealed to them, they began to rebuke you, denying your dreams for them. We thought only of ourselves. You continued to speak of your promises, sending the prophets into all the barren places where we lived, but we were ashamed of the words they spoke, and we would not listen. So you sent the one called Jesus to leave your side. He came to show your love for us. Therefore, we join our voices and those from every time and every place, forever singing your praises. Holy, holy, holy God, whose life be. All the ends of the earth and the far corners of the universe sing of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to take up his cross. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus could have stumbled over our distrust, he called us to follow him into your promises. When our rejection could have weakened his faith, he grew strong in his commitment to deny himself. When he could have remained silent, he declared your salvation to all. When he could have hidden his face in fear, he turned toward Jerusalem. As we come to the table he has prepared, we declare that in his crucifixion and resurrection, we find the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Here at this table, where the gifts of bread and the cup are offered to your children, pour out your spirit of healing and hope. Feed us with the food of heaven, which can make us whole once more. Nourish us with the cup of life, which transforms us into your forgiveness, your forgiven, faithful people. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And as the children of God, we now pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite those who will be assisting in offering communion to please come forward. They will receive and then they will serve you.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand and join with me in our benediction. We come to this time of ending acknowledging that the things that clutter and consume us, we lay down. Attitudes that separate and divide us, we lay down. All those things that are obstacles for us, we lay down so that we may hold close peace, love, and joy. Amen.